In the name of Jesus, dear followers of Christ. Upon the reading of this particular text assigned, not only in the King James Version, but in a number of other versions, and taking a special interest in the term koinonia, which appears in the fifth verse of this reading, we noted that another translation that often appeared was the word partner. For your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That term is a term which I could not forget, neglect. It's a term that I could not erase, a term which I could not escape. It is a term upon which we would like to base our meditation this morning. Partnership. Perhaps this term strikes me in a very unique and special way because I happen to be in the business of fundraising. This book was written by someone who expressed a great deal of gratitude for those who were involved in the process of fundraising. And he himself became the benefactor of that fundraising. And so in the last chapter of this verse, he explains in great detail his thanksgiving for their giving. So on the basis of this text this morning, let us make three observations. Our partnership is oftentimes ill-conceived. Partnership needs to be properly perceived. And finally, when properly perceived, partnership demonstrates results achieved. Partnership is often ill-conceived. This morning, the armchair quarterbacks are getting in position. The headlines are already explaining why the peace talks failed. It was because one of the partners refused to give in. And there is much criticism already being leveled against the President of the United States for his failure to give in. You see, partnership, unless it is built on mutual trust, is ill-conceived. That trust is not built exactly when you visit a communist country such as East Germany and in the great city of Altenburg, attempt to sing one of the great Lutheran hymns, Ein feste Burg, only to be told that there can be no singing in this place. For this is not a church, this is a concert hall, and the beautiful instrument that is contained in this concert hall is to be used only for concerts and not for singing, especially the singing of militaristic hymns. That kind of spirit does not build partnerships. The spirit that says, I found it, doesn't necessarily build partnership. We too fall prey oftentimes to the criteria for partnership. A partnership which is built and based on our terms. A partnership that will go into existence if it is done my way. There is a critical spirit alive and well in our world that is devastating to the whole principle of building partnerships. And not only is it alive and well in our world, it is alive and well within our church and in our community and in our close community as a seminary family. It makes its inroads. Of course, institutions attempt to establish guidelines before partnerships are established. And we run into things such as this when we make our request for help. We are given an application procedure which has a long paragraph that calls for adequate representation of minorities and women on the boards of directors of non-profit organizations. They want to see a listing of all of our current board members, designated the number of majority males, majority females, minority males, and minority females. If those figures do not reflect the community at large, then please include your affirmative action policy statement for board membership and list your goals to bring about adequate representation in the future. One of the large corporations in our own city here. Partnership is oftentimes ill-conceived. Partnership needs to be properly perceived. It starts as St. Paul started in the word of this text. Paul and Timothy, the slaves of Jesus Christ, more than just servants. For you see, a servant can go from one master to another master, but a slave is tied to the master. His master's will becomes his will. He is bonded to his master. He is a slave to his master. He has no will of his own. He has the will of his master. And of course, we're hearing much more these days about the whole matter of bonding. How important it is in the delivery room already that this bonding take place between mother and child. And we're hearing now about the bonding that is necessary as individuals contemplate marriage. Because we are concerned about premarital sex. Partnership needs to be properly perceived. It needs to be established on God's terms. We need to remember in our partnership arrangement, we don't do anything, but God reaches down to us. Without all of the fancy embellishments, let me just share with you a story that is told about a southern family years ago, destitute and poor, not even possessing a good mirror in their home. Finally, they were able to purchase at least a mirror which gave a good reflection. Little Willie, who had been kicked in the face by a mule in his early years, saw his face for the first time as it was, pretty scarred and ugly. And when he saw his face, he looked at his mother and said, "Mom, did you always know I look like this?" "Yes." "And you still love me?" "Yes, Willie, I loved you because you're mine." So God looks down at our ugly, twisted, scarred life, sinful, He reaches down from a cross and he enfolds us in his loving embrace. By his shed blood, by the open tomb, he tells us, I loved you because you're mine. I loved you just the way you are. That's grace. With our ugliness and sin, he died for us, for you and for me. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. One slave talking to other slaves. We have been assured of that divine rescue and divine rescue plan through the water of baptism. Remembrance and gratitude, when tied together, are expressions of high regard and respect. And so St. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. There is a respect for life and for the word when partnership is properly perceived. It also involves the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Inasmuch as I have you in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. St. Paul says, as this partnership is properly perceived, one grows in the knowledge and depth of the insight so that one can discern what is best, so that we will be blameless, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Made so by the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus. When properly perceived, there are results that are achieved. This is a partnership that is constant, that has, if you will, holding power. A partnership that stands firm and doesn't fold. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. In the face of adversity, trials, tribulations, and difficulties, this partnership that is properly perceived holds. As it does for the 86-year-old husband and the 81-year-old wife, who with tears try to explain that it would be better for them to be taken than their 55-year-old nephew, who was just diagnosed as having Lou Gehrig's disease. And he had just come and was visiting the family as I visited. As we attempted to give comfort, we referred to a plaque that was on the wall that said, Jesus never fails. And using that thought to bring the kind of comfort to bear in the life of one who has maybe 5 months or 5 years to live, we in turn are comforted when he says, what God ordains is always good. A partnership that is properly perceived by the grace and the mercy of God, the results are demonstrated. Our prayer this morning is that we might see Jesus once again placing us into this partnership, that realizing anew his grace and his love and his mercy, we might abound all the more in knowledge and in all discernment. partners by the grace of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds, the one true faith unto life eternal. Amen.